Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. Let's go right on out and look at the composite numbers as they sit right now. In Kansas City, March wheat at 834.5 is down 2.5. July is 852.5, down 1.75. March wheat in Chicago, 780.75, down 0.5. July, 793.75, down 1.5. March corn, 725.75, up 1.25, now 1.5. 725.5 up 1. July is at 720.25, up 3.25. December, 589 up 2.5. March soybeans, 1425.25, down 5. July, 1405.75, down 0.25. November, 1286.25, up 1. March soybean meal, 413.10, down 90. March soybean oil, 51.17, down 32. February live cattle, 125.92.5, down 67.5. January feeders, 143.75, down 65. And February lean hogs, 85.45, and they are down 50.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Looking at the trade today, I would say, Mike, let the four-day holiday begin.
Well, I think that, and you've also got Informa coming out, and I think that we have learned now with the new regulations coming in from Dodd-Frank and some of the other things that have been put into legislation since the financial crisis, that the high-frequency traders, a lot of them computer model-oriented traders, Dave, and a lot of them use information from the news wires as well as information from firms like Informa, and those numbers get dumped into their computer models, and those computer models adjust based upon that data pretty much immediately within seconds of that data hitting. And so I think the trade's gotten wise to the issue of the algo or high-frequency traders, and they're in a hands-off position right now because that data is going to be released and probably be influencing the market. I just got off the phone with somebody I know in that area, and it sounds like that they'll probably be influencing the trade in about a half an hour, and then the rest of us who do not subscribe to Informa will probably get the newswire information around 10:30 your time.
And what are we looking at? New crop acreage numbers?
Or? Yes, exactly. New crop acreage numbers, and we're going to be able to probably look at those acreage numbers in light of the grain stocks and old crop carryover and see whether this is a increase or decrease. And I think the big number to watch for is that USDA and their winter wheat acreage numbers really took soft wheat acres up. I just got done traveling the week in Kentucky. I can tell you that area, I've never seen as many soft red wheat acres. And I think, therefore, you could be lined up, and I think this is why the corn's probably trading better than beans right now. I think you could be lined up with the idea that those bigger soft wheat acres will take new crop corn acres down, and that's been keeping the spreads and the new crop corn pretty well bolstered here going into the report, whereas the beans in the March contract especially are now down 8, making some new daily lows.
Those wheat acres, I mean, that was practically a gimme for producers given the insurance rates. If the crop failed, they would still get a pretty decent price, and they would come back with soybeans. It looked like it was going to be a win-win.
Exactly. South of I-70, you can double crop, get crop insurance. You've had a drought on your hands down there, and you're exactly right. They can tear that wheat up if they see a very poor stand come the next 60, 90 days and look to do full-season beans. And that was an area a lot like southern Indiana and a lot like Ohio, where yields were much, much better in beans because you got those late-breaking rains in the later part of August, early September, very reminiscent of a 1988-type crop where the corn got hurt, and in some cases bean yields beat corn yields.
So I did allude to that 4 day is really 3 day because we are trading today, but I think that, do we come back Monday night, and if the ridge is still there in Argentina, off we go?
I think what we had this week was a kind of a gimme week for the bull Now we tested some 200-day moving averages in some key charts. We've tested some 40 and 50-day moving averages in some key charts. We've gotten the commodity index charts up to levels that we haven't seen in about a month. And so now we're probably at a level where we need to find demand again, and I think that's where your supply issue comes in. I think the more demand we find next week, Dave, the higher we can go because of the supply side of the equation. And I think the demand is coming on. The weekly export sales, everybody's talking about the beans, and rightfully so. The marketing year high for 2012 erases and puts out of everybody's minds, finally, that China's not canceling because they don't have any demand. Mm-hmm. The thing that I really liked about yesterday's weekly export sales with China was the second biggest buyer of our wheat, and I think that really gives us a nice both demand and supply look going into next week's trade. And I think it's very worthwhile mentioning that as we went into the report, we were breaking to the downside counter-seasonally in corn and wheat, and especially, and also in beans and meal. Now we've gotten that seasonal trend back where the corn and wheat are going higher. Seasonally, that projects that goes into the middle of February, that corn and wheat goes higher. I think that seasonal should play out. So I'm looking for better price action next week, and much better price action if we can get some demand underneath us to start the week off with the export inspection.
And then I think a little bit longer term, that corn finds itself in a tug of war between wheat and soybeans. I think that that perhaps over time the wheat fundamentals have not been fully digested by the market, and wheat could go significantly higher. And then these numbers, and we got AgriConsult now coming out with 84 million metric tons of soybeans will come out and pan out, and then you got soybeans potentially moving lower. And what does corn do?
Well, exactly, and I think this is key. A couple points. You don't want to overstay your welcome by being bullish beans. I think that's the key with the AgriConsult numbers, and especially with Argentina giving us a little bit of support with dry weather. But that dry weather is not a big deal unless it goes another 10 days. That's what I'm picking up. And I think in the corn, I think you hit a huge point here, Dave. I've been a big, and this was just as fresh as last week's commodity week, I talked about the bull spread and the front end leading the back end up. That's worked, but I'm concerned that as we get to the end of the month and the 1st of February, this market flips its mindset and the funds go after new crop corn because of the weather and the drought and because the demand. These ethanol plants that shuttered this week, I did not like seeing, and I think this declining demand and the fact that the Cargill plant shuttering, their cattle slaughter facility in Texas, these things all tend to add up to, can the front end continue to lead the back end with the spread and with the cash basis, or is the demand continuing to be going to be rationed here for the next couple, 3 months? And the really better long position to be in is actually new crop corn. And I think that's where maybe even today's Informa numbers, if they're reduced compared to their last one, maybe we'll start to get a hint of that. So don't overstay your welcome on being too bullish on the old crop corn or old crop beans heading into the end of the month.
You know, that December corn, the new crop, I mean, we have thrown everything we can throw at it, and it just sits there at 589, 585. There's some sense that, well, if things were perfect, it could go 610. But, I mean, essentially, aren't we range-bound with this pending planting weather in the U.S. in the spring?
I don't think so, and I say that because in 2010 we saw the wheat, the Chicago wheat, go $3.50 premium to the corn, and I think we're setting ourselves up for a similar scenario because of the global supplies, and I think that's where the International Grains Council numbers yesterday really pegged exports about 5 to 6 million tons higher than USDA. I think Argentina's crop is definitely going to be below 10 million tons because they're about wrapped up harvesting at this point. So there's some issues there where you could take 10 million tons off of the global wheat ending stocks fairly easily, put us right back to where we were, you know, last year or the year before, or excuse me, back in 2008 when we were down to around 166 as far as world carryover. That really gets the market's attention, I think.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.